Welcome now to our sermon text, which will be from Ruth chapter 2. Before, as we read, please stand, as it is our custom. We're going to read chapter 2, verses 17 till the end. Ruth chapter 2, verse 17. So she gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city. Her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She also brought out and gave her what food she had left over after being satisfied. And her mother-in-law said to her, "Where did you glean today? And where have you worked? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, "The man's name with whom I work today is Boaz." And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "May he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead." Naomi also said to her, "The man is a close relative of ours, one of our redeemers." And Ruth the Moabite said, "Besides, he said to me, 'You shall keep close by my young men until they have finished all my harvest.'" And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women, lest in another field you be assaulted." So she kept close to the young women of Boaz, gleaning until the end of the barley and wheat harvests. And she lived with her mother-in-law. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again that we can end this Lord's Day with listening to your word, coming together as your people, worshiping you. And we pray now as we do so that you give us attentive hearts, that you give us ears to hear and eyes to see the wonderful truths of your word, and that we will see Jesus Christ and learn more about him, learn more about us and the wonderful gospel hope. And we pray that you may give us growth in grace and faith, and that we live to your glory. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. I'm sure you are as excited as I am to close out chapter 2 of Ruth tonight. We spent quite a bit of time looking at chapter 2, and we learned about Boaz, and we learned about more about Ruth and about them too, and their interaction with one another. And this evening we want to consider what we have behind us before we begin, what happened before, to just remind us what's going on. For those who have been with us, you will remember that from chapter 1, that the book of Ruth sets us in this scene that takes place in a time period where judges ruled in Israel. A time, as we saw, that was overshadowed by lawlessness. It was a time where there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in his own eyes. But we also saw that this time was, or has been, released. We have read in the beginning of chapter 1 about the time of hunger, the famine, and yet at the very end of chapter 1, we read these encouraging words that God has reversed the fortunes of Israel. And we read, "Behold, it was the barley harvest. God has come back and visited his people." And as we thought about that, and we looked at Boaz and we looked at Ruth, and we saw how Israel was brought back to food, and the hunger has been broken, that the question we must ask as readers of the story that is before us, while Israel's fortunes has been reversed, will Naomi's fortunes be reversed? As Israel has been turned to food and is flourishing, will Naomi also flourish and be reversed? And as I mentioned, we have seen Ruth and Naomi's loyal daughter-in-law, as she went out in the beginning of chapter 2, and she was trying to find someone who has mercy on her, who has favor on her. And she went out, and she happens to come to Boaz's field. And she doesn't even know, and she still doesn't know who Boaz is. But he comes and he speaks these kind words to her. And he lavishes grace upon grace on her. But what about Naomi? She is still at her place, at home, in the city. And she left us in utter bitterness. She told us that at the end of chapter 1, that she told us that she feels forsaken by the Lord. She feels that she's under his curse and ban. And she went out of Israel full, but she came back in complete emptiness. So the question again is, will Naomi be filled as Israel went from emptiness to fullness? Can this also be true for Naomi? She is unaware of what happened to Ruth, what she's experiencing out in the field. She can't see the amount of grain that Ruth is collecting. She can't hear the conversation between Boaz and her. She can't taste the food that Ruth just had with Boaz and his men and women. Her stomach is still empty. She's not smelling the delicious, freshly baked bread. She is still in distress. Still bitter. Still lonely and destitute. But not for long. As we opened this text today and read verses 17 to 18, we read that Ruth beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it and brought it home. Now, this is not a subtle hint for Naomi. This is the broadest hint you can think of. And it is important, because just imagine what Naomi is going through. She's still in this dark place of her life. And she wasn't able so far to see anything that God did in her life. She can't see the providence that is at work already in her life, and that we saw in chapter 2 and that Ruth experienced. The very fact that she made it, this dangerous journey back to Bethlehem, is a blessing of God, but she can't see it. Her loyal daughter next to her, who won't leave her alone, she can't see it. And the Lord God knows it. He knows about her weakness. He knows about her bitterness and how weak she is. And often we feel like that, and we look around and all the people are doing well, but we can't see the hand of God in our life. And so here Ruth brings home an ephah of barley that is around that is a 30 to 50 pound bag of barley. This is something that even Naomi can't overlook. To put it in different words, this is 2 weeks' worth of labor. And Ruth, after a single day, Ruth the gleaner, the beggar, after a single day, brings home this huge bag of barley. Can you imagine the look on Naomi's face as Ruth comes home with this big bag? And God is showing that to Naomi that he is at work, and it is so obvious that even Naomi can't miss it. And yes, we walk by faith and not by sight, and yet sometimes God gives us these tangible evidence of his love and provision for us. And here it is for Naomi, and Ruth brings it home, and we ask the question, Naomi, do you see it now? Can you see that God is at work in your life? And she does. She does. For the first time in this book, we see blessings, words of blessings on the lips of Naomi. She's asking the obvious question. She sees Ruth and she says, where did you glean today? And where have you worked? In other words, what in the world happened? This is unbelievable. And before she receives an answer, she bursts out with blessing and she says, whoever he is, God bless him. God bless him. And notice, Ruth has still no idea that Naomi is related to Boaz. And Ruth, Naomi has no idea who provided the food. The name has been withheld as the questions unfold. And finally, Ruth says, as a side note, she says, oh, and by the way, his name is Boaz. The man who helped me and provided this food, his name is Boaz. Naomi must have fallen from her chair hearing that name. Boaz. In utter disbelief, she would have asked, did you say Boaz? I know that man. He is our kinsman. He is a relative. And you see, Naomi forgot that she has family in town. Naomi forgot, but God didn't. And her response is a response of faith. She says, may he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead. God has not forgotten his people. And listen what she says. She says, whose kindness has not forgotten, has not forsaken the living or the dead. May he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead. It is this word chesed that we read here, the kindness of the Lord. It is this covenant term that is pregnant with meaning. And if you are in a Hebrew reading class at seminary and you have to translate a verse and you bump into this word, you're fine, because everything you throw out there is okay, as long as it is a positive, good word, right? So if you want to translate it with kindness, that is good. If you want to translate it with mercy, love, favor, grace, this is all included in this one covenant term, chesed. And we wonder, I thought Naomi had no hope in chapter 1. But now she has all the hope in the world, because God's chesed can't forget Naomi. God's chesed love can't forget you, because God has sworn by his name to be faithful to his children. And Naomi remembers. And it's very interesting that in this chapter, Ruth, in the beginning, in verse 2, she says, let me go out and find favor, and to see if somebody has favor on me. And the word here that she uses is not chesed, but hen. And when she meets Boaz and he shows her that favor and he speaks kindly to her, she says, why have I found favor, hen, in your eyes? And it's often associated with this finding. I have found favor. It is surprising. It's unexpected. But now Naomi calls it chesed, because she knows it is rooted in God's covenant. And in a way, it is not surprising, because God has promised us his chesed, his faithful and steadfast love. And if we think about that, we don't have to be surprised. It is not unexpected. It is something that he promised us, and we know, we should know, that he will love us. It is his covenantal loyalty. It is his steadfast love that will never forsake you. And Naomi now, she remembers. And she returns. She's being restored. Now there's a reversal. She's no longer Mara the bitter, but she came back. She is now again Naomi, the lovely. And she says, "May God bless him." Why? Because he blessed us, and he has not forsaken us. And we wonder, where is God's covenant faithfulness in chapter 2? Is it the bag of barley? Where did God show up? When did he come in this chapter? And in a certain way, it is the man Boaz that we see who manifests this chesed, the characteristics of God. He is the one who comes and redeems Ruth and Naomi that are in such desperate need. And he shows them the attributes of God. He is the one who's graciously deals graciously with them. Boaz is God's love in a way in human flesh for Ruth and Naomi. In a time of wickedness and rebellion and where everybody is doing what they want, he is faithful and upright. And he is honoring and following the law. And he is delivering them from their poverty and from the poor state. Now, what does Naomi mean when she says he is one of our redeemers? What is Ruth to understand of that? The concept of the kinsman redeemer is to redeem the family of a, let's say, deceased brother. It works like that the land of Israel was a land that has been given to Israel by God, and it was a gift given to them, and the land has had a great significance. But just supposing that a family fell into hard times and maybe someone deceased and the man died, the man of the family dies, would that just be tough and the family had to leave the land and move out? No, the provision that God gave in Leviticus 25:25, where we find this concept of the redeemer, the kinsman redeemer, is that if a man became poor or someone dies or is in destitute need and had no way of surviving, that his near relative would come and would take possession of that land. And he would ensure that the property would remain in the name of that family, so that family could still remain in the land and would not be plotted out of that land. That the name would remain and the people, the family could stay in that promised land that God has given them. This is the provision that God made and gave Israel. And here we have such a case. And it is really hard to miss in this text Jesus, isn't it? Even the word Redeemer. We can't help but see the Savior, Jesus Christ, typified in the Redeemer Boaz in this story. And we can't help but see ourselves in Naomi, the ones who are in desperate need. And while for Naomi, Boaz is this love, this chesed love, the one who will provide for them and will secure their safety in the land as the kinsman redeemer, we can't help but think of our redeemer who secures our name in the book of life. It is this divine grace that came into this world and became flesh. And he is the manifestation of God. He is the person, the Son of God, the Jesus Christ, and the exact imprint of the nature of God. And divine grace has a human face in Jesus Christ. And we look at him as our Redeemer. And he came to redeem us. He came to redeem Ruth, and he came to redeem Naomi and even Boaz. You see, what Ruth and Naomi needed was not simply a redeemer that would rescue them from their poverty or danger, or not even provide them a husband and preserve the line of their family. We need to ask, why were they in this situation in the first place? What drove them out of Israel? Why is there so much death in this world? And the answer is, it was the famine that drove them out. It was the famine of there was no food and no sustenance for them. But this famine was a picture of the famine of faith. They did not live according to God's law. They were sinful and rebellious people. And this sin, this gap between God and man is the real problem, the underlying problem. And food and family won't change that. Food and family won't change that. There will be another famine and another famine. And there will be another family that will go out and sin against God. And so what they need, what we need, is a redeemer that rescues us from that sin. At the end of life, there's death. And there's no going around that. The wages of sin is death. And nobody can cheat death. And therefore, we need this heavenly redeemer to rescue us from sin. And therefore, the words of Naomi that she says in verse 20 are so significant. She says, he won't even forget the dead. His kindness, his love, his grace won't forget the dead. The children who trust in him, in Christ, they won't stay dead. God has promised to defeat death itself by sending his only begotten Son to die. And we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, really, the whole chapter is about the resurrection of Christ. And Paul, he says here, and Christ died for our sins, according to Scripture. And he was buried, and he raised again on the third day, according to Scripture, according to God's promises. And it is this hope that we have that we will not remain dead. But as Christ rose from the dead, we too will rise one day, and we will be made perfectly blessed in the full enjoying of God to all eternity. And that is why we call this hope that we have a resurrection hope. It is the hope for the living and the dead, that they will not remain dead. And now Naomi understands that. And Naomi trusts in that. And she's being restored. She always was a faithful Israelite who trusted in God, even though she went through this valley of the shadow of death. We all will see death at some point, but we have the hope that we will be raised again and be with Christ. And the proof is that he rose again from the dead. And it's beautiful how Naomi now understands and listen to her advice that she gives Ruth at the end of this chapter. When Ruth says that he said to stay close to his young man, and she says, stay. Stay with them. You see, Naomi, after all she has been through, she was the one who left the people of God, and she looked to Moab, and she went to Moab, and all that disaster came over her. But now she realizes that it is good to stay under God's wings. It is good to stay with God's people and to trust in him. And she says to Ruth, stay. Don't even dare to look to another field. Don't even think about it. Stay with the people of God and stay under the protection of God. And trust in him. God is faithful, and it is good to be close to him and to his people. And we see here that at the end of chapter 2, Naomi, she's not only being restored, but she's been drawn closer to God. As she went through these trials, she has now a much more appreciation of who God is. And As I was thinking about this passage, a psalm came to mind, and I thought this might as well have been Naomi's psalm, or she could take this on her lips and say it. And this is how I want to finish this sermon. She's in Psalm 42, verse 11, we read a psalm that is full with distress and darkness, but at the end, in verse 11, the psalmist says, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are in you turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son, whom you sent into this world full of wickedness and sin, and who lived a perfect life on our behalf. That he died, but he did not remain dead. He rose again on the third day, and he sits at the right hand of the Father, always making intercession for us. Father, we thank you for your faithful and steadfast love that we saw on the cross, that we can always be reminded of. And even when we go through this difficult life, through turmoil and distress, give us the grace to always remember who you are, and that you have promised us to never leave nor forsake us. And your promises are yes and amen. Father, help us to keep our gaze upon you, and always fix our eyes on Jesus Christ. And help us to live our life worthy of our calling, that we bring glory to you, and that we thank you for what you have done to us. Let us keep us close to you and to your people, and let us always rest in this resurrection hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And it is in his name that we pray. Amen.